Have you ever wondered how a divine chosen one can become a tyrant? How is it possible for someone destined for good to end up leading with malice? Did God make mistakes in his divine decisions? Imagine a situation where the influence of power distorts so intensely that even those chosen by the divine stray from their path. In this study, we will explore the impactful lives of the four most depraved and corrupt monarchs who ruled over Israel and Judah. These monarchs not only ignored the heavenly commandments, but also led their kingdoms to destruction. Before delving into the dark stories of these four monarchs, it is crucial to understand the context in which they exercised their authority. There is a common element that led them to the same disastrous fate, which we will reveal in the next few minutes. Originally united under the mandates of David and Solomon, the Kingdom of Israel emerged as a powerful and flourishing entity. The divinity had made a covenant with his people, ensuring blessings and protection in exchange for loyalty and obedience. The monarchs were consecrated, not just as political figures, but as heavenly emissaries on earth, entrusted with the sacred mission of guiding the nation in the ways of the Almighty, ensuring equity and preserving the integrity of worship to Yahweh. In the sacred text of Deuteronomy, specifically in chapter 17, verses 18 to 20, the expectations for the rulers of Israel upon taking the throne are outlined. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20. This fragment highlights the importance of humility, continuous study of divine precepts, and adherence to their decrees as fundamental pillars for fruitful and enduring leadership. However, power tends to corrupt even the most virtuous. Jeroboam the First, the first on our list, is recognized for fragmenting the kingdom and leading Israel into sin. His trajectory illustrates the repercussions of excessive ambition and the distortion of the sacred. He began his career as an effective servant under King Solomon. In 1 Kings 11:28, it is mentioned, "And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. But Jeroboam was not satisfied with his position and began to seek ways to increase his influence, leading him to rebel against the dynasty of David and found an independent kingdom in the north. This act of rebellion not only divided the country, but also introduced idolatrous customs that distanced the people from true worship. Jeroboam was not alone. Other monarchs also succumbed to the seductions of power and corruption. Their stories teach us how straying from sacred principles and the ambition for personal power can degrade a nation both spiritually and morally. These narratives warn us about the risks of disobedience and pride, reminding us of the necessity to adhere to the values and teachings that promote good. God had made a covenant with his people, offering them blessings and protection in exchange for their fidelity and obedience. The kings were not merely political rulers, but also divine representatives on earth, charged with guiding the people in the ways of the Lord, ensuring justice and maintaining the integrity of worship to Yahweh. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 to 20, the expectations for the monarchs of Israel upon taking their throne are detailed. The king was to personally write a copy of these laws in a scroll supervised by the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. Deuteronomy 17:19-20. This segment emphasizes the importance of humility, the continuous study of divine norms, and adherence to his orders as essential pillars for fruitful and enduring leadership. However, as we will see, power tends to corrupt even the most virtuous. Jeroboam V tops our list of infamous kings because he was the one who divided the kingdom and led Israel into sin. His life is a clear testament to what excessive ambition and manipulation of the sacred provoke. He began his trajectory as a prominent servant of Solomon. In 1 Kings 11:28, we read that Jeroboam distinguished himself by his capability, which led Solomon to appoint him supervisor of the workers of the house of Joseph. This fact reveals that Jeroboam had both the qualities and the capabilities to lead. However, his excessive ambition led him down a dangerous path. The prophet Ahijah predicted that God would divide the kingdom after Solomon's death, giving 10 tribes to Jeroboam. This prophecy, documented in 1 Kings 11:29-39, included both a promise and a warning. Jeroboam was promised that if he followed the Lord's precepts as David did, God would consolidate his dynasty. However, Jeroboam chose to rely on his own judgment instead of divine guidance. After Solomon's death and the division of the kingdom, Jeroboam became the first monarch of the northern kingdom, Israel. It was then that he made decisions that would mark him as one of the worst rulers in biblical history. Fearful of losing the loyalty of the people who might return to Jerusalem and the house of David, Jeroboam committed an unthinkable act. He set up 2 golden calves in Bethel and Dan, urging the people to worship these figures instead of making pilgrimages to Jerusalem. This act not only constituted blatant idolatry, but was also a political maneuver to maintain his dominance and prevent the people from returning to central worship in Jerusalem. Furthermore, Jeroboam established priests who were not from the tribe of Levi and promoted religious festivities different from those ordained by God's law, further distancing the people from traditional religious practices. These actions brought disastrous consequences for Israel, starting an era of monarchs in the northern kingdom who continued to stray from God and push the people towards idolatry and corruption. Jeroboam's story serves as a warning about the dangers of disobedience and the loss of faith in divine guidance. By creating an alternative religious system to worship in Jerusalem, Jeroboam declared in 1 Kings 12:10-28 to 29, "Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan." This act not only violated the commandment prohibiting idolatrous images, but also deliberately denied the covenant God had established with Israel. Jeroboam not only revived an ancestral sin, but also institutionalized idolatry as state policy. Jeroboam's decisions had long-lasting repercussions affecting future generations. By establishing alternative worship centers in Dan and Bethel, he not only diverted the people from true worship to God, but also initiated a tradition of apostasy that would affect the northern kingdom for centuries. The scriptures frequently refer to subsequent sins of Israel as the sins of Jeroboam, emphasizing the lasting impact of his actions. In 1 Kings 14:16, the prophet Ahijah declares, "And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin." This prophetic declaration not only condemned Jeroboam, but also foretold the tragic fate of the northern kingdom. The apostasy instituted by Jeroboam opened the doors to even more corrupt practices, including the worship of Baal and other pagan gods. By failing in his duty to guide the people in the ways of God, Jeroboam not only led them away from the Lord, but also laid the foundation for a series of disastrous consequences that would affect his kingdom and future generations. Jeroboam's legacy is a potent reminder of how leaders' decisions can have impacts that transcend their reigns, profoundly affecting the destiny of an entire community. Jeroboam's reign not only negatively impacted the spiritual realm, but also had considerable political and social repercussions in the Northern Kingdom. By diverting the Israelites from the main religious center in Jerusalem, Jeroboam effectively severed the cultural and spiritual ties that kept the tribes united. This intensified the political division between the northern and southern kingdoms and deteriorated Israel's collective identity as God's chosen people. The establishment of a non-Levitical priesthood, which was established by divine guidelines, weakened the social and religious foundations that sustained Israel. As documented in 1 Kings 12:31, "And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi." This act not only violated divine norms regarding the priesthood, but also facilitated corruption and abuse of spiritual power. By disregarding the religious system established by God, Jeroboam eliminated the spiritual safeguards meant to guide and protect the people. The tragedy of his reign becomes more evident when ignoring several opportunities to correct his errors and reorient towards divine teachings. A highlighted incident is narrated in 1 Kings 13, when a man of God from Judah prophesied against the altar built by Jeroboam in Bethel. When Jeroboam tried to stop the prophet, his hand became paralyzed, the altar crumbled, and the ashes scattered, fulfilling the prophet's prediction. This phenomenon should have been a clear warning to Jeroboam of divine discontent with his actions. However, despite his hand being miraculously restored by the prophet's intervention, Jeroboam did not change his behavior. In 1 Kings 13:33-34, it is said, "After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off, and to destroy it from off the face of the earth." Jeroboam's story is a stark reminder of the risks of manipulating religion for political ends and the dire consequences of deviating from God's precepts. Jeroboam's impact extended beyond his time, setting a dangerous precedent that other northern kingdom leaders followed, promoting a sequence of apostasy that persisted through the years. This legacy of idolatry and disobedience culminated in the eventual fall of the northern kingdom and the dispersion of the 10 tribes. Jeroboam's mark on the culture and religion of the northern kingdom also had a lasting effect on relations between Israel and Judah. Jeroboam's policies intensified rivalry and distrust between the two kingdoms, contributing to an environment of instability and conflict that prolonged far beyond his death. This internal division weakened the nation, increasing its vulnerability to external threats and culminating in its conquest and exile. Therefore, Jeroboam's narrative not only warns of the dangers of idolatry, but also illustrates how governmental decisions can resonate far beyond a leader's time, deeply affecting the destiny of an entire community. This tragic account highlights the need for leaders who respect God and prioritize His will over their personal ambitions. Jeroboam had the opportunity to be an exemplary ruler, but chose to be remembered as the leader who led Israel into sin. The next monarch on our list of notoriously infamous figures is Ahab, whose reign is known for its wickedness and the pernicious influence of his wife Jezebel. Ahab led the northern kingdom of Israel about 50 years after Jeroboam, and his reign represents one of the darkest periods in Israel's spiritual history. The Bible is explicit in describing Ahab's vileness. In 1 Kings 16:30-31, we read, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal, and worshipped him. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin." 1 Kings 21:22. The judgment pronounced by Elijah was directed not only at Ahab, but also at his descendants and lineage, announcing a tragic end for his family. This prognosis included the elimination of all males in his house, both bond and free, reflecting the gravity of the sins committed under his reign. The severity of the punishment promised by God underscores the seriousness with which divine justice responds to wickedness and corruption. Moreover, Ahab and Jezebel's story also served as a warning to future kings of Israel and Judah about the consequences of straying from God's ways and using royal power for personal and selfish ends. The narrative highlights how corrupt leaders can negatively influence an entire nation, leading it into idolatry and moral decline. Ahab's legacy is a stark reminder that leaders' actions have lasting repercussions, extending far beyond their time on the throne and affecting future generations. As for Jezebel, the Lord declared, "And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat." 1 Kings 21:23-24. This prophecy not only sentenced Ahab and Jezebel to a tragic and violent end, but also decreed the extinction of their lineage. The severity of this sentence reflects the magnitude of Ahab's sins in God's eyes. His apostasy, idolatry, and injustice not only corrupted his soul, but also endangered the spiritual and moral ruin of the entire kingdom. Curiously, Ahab's story takes an unexpected turn. After hearing Elijah's condemnation, Ahab demonstrated a degree of repentance. In 1 Kings 21:27-29, we read, "And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." This moment of humility in Ahab shows that even the most wicked of kings still had the capacity to respond to divine rebuke. It is important to note that, although God delayed part of the judgment due to this repentance, the consequences of Ahab's actions would still fall upon his house and kingdom. This reminds us that, while God is merciful, he is also just, and our actions have real and lasting consequences. Ahab's repentance, though genuine at that moment, proved superficial and fleeting, as he soon reverted to his sinful ways. Ahab's reign ended as he lived, in rebellion against God. His death, narrated in 1 Kings 22, occurred during a battle against the Syrians. Despite disguising himself to avoid being identified, a randomly shot arrow struck him between the joints of his armor. Ahab died slowly in his war chariot, with his blood flowing to the bottom of the chariot. When the chariot was washed in a pool in Samaria, dogs licked his blood, partially fulfilling Elijah's prophecy. Ahab's inglorious death serves as a grim reminder of the fate awaiting those who persist in opposing God. Jezebel's fate was equally tragic and fulfilled the prophecy pronounced by Elijah. Later, Jezebel was thrown out of a window by her own servants at Jehu's command, and her body was devoured by dogs, as prophesied. This event symbolized not only the end of Jezebel and Ahab's house, but also divine judgment on the idolatry and injustice that proliferated under their reign. Ahab and Jezebel's legacy serves as a powerful warning about the dangers of straying from God's ways and the cost of corruption and disobedience. Their stories illustrate how power, when diverted to evil, can lead to devastating consequences, both personally and collectively. The biblical narrative of their downfall testifies that, while God offers mercy and opportunities for repentance, he also upholds his justice, ensuring that wickedness does not go unpunished. Their reign left a legacy of apostasy and injustice that would continue to affect Israel for generations. The corrupt influence of Ahab and Jezebel extended beyond their lifetimes, with their daughter, Athaliah, later bringing idolatry and chaos to the kingdom of Judah. Ahab's story teaches us about the dangers of allowing corrupt influences into our lives, the importance of remaining faithful to God even in the face of opposition, and the devastating consequences that ungodly leadership can have on an entire nation. The third king on our list of infamy is Manasseh, king of Judah, whose wickedness shocked even the standards of an era marked by apostasy. Manasseh ascended to the throne at the age of 12 and reigned for 55 years, the longest reign of any king of Judah or Israel. Unfortunately, his long reign was characterized by unprecedented depravity. The Bible describes his actions in unequivocal terms in 2 Kings 21:2-6, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, In Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. This catalogue of sins is particularly surprising because Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah, one of Judah's most faithful and godly kings. The contrast between father and son could not be more striking, demonstrating that faith and godliness are not hereditary, but a personal choice each individual must make. Manasseh's reign represents a shocking reversal of the godly reforms of his father Hezekiah. While Hezekiah worked diligently to purify worship in Judah and restore the worship of the true God, Manasseh not only reintroduced pagan practices, but took them to new extremes. He was not content to worship false gods outside the temple, but also defiled the sacred place with idolatrous practices. This escalation in idolatry and religious perversion not only led the kingdom of Judah into deep spiritual decay, but also marked a low point in its religious history. Moreover, Manasseh's reign had lasting consequences for Judah. His apostasy not only provoked God's wrath, but also set a dangerous precedent for future generations. The corruption and sin sown during his rule contributed to the eventual fall of Jerusalem and the exile of the people. The biblical account underscores how the decisions of a leader can profoundly influence the destiny of a nation, affecting not just its present, but also its future. Manasseh's story is a warning about the corrupting power of idolatry and the importance of faithfulness to divine commandments. Manasseh not only abandoned the worship of Yahweh, but also profaned the Lord's temple by building altars to pagan deities within its sacred precincts. This was not merely apostasy, but a direct and deliberate affront to the God of Israel. The construction of altars to the whole host of heaven in the temple courtyards reflected an attempt at religious syncretism, where Manasseh sought to combine the worship of Yahweh with the astral cults of the Babylonians and Canaanites. This practice not only violated the first commandment, but also diluted and corrupted the true faith in Yahweh, confusing the people and further leading them away from the true God. Manasseh's desecration of the temple was particularly offensive because the temple was the symbol of God's presence among his people and the center of Judah's religious and national life. By corrupting this sacred place, Manasseh was effectively corrupting the spiritual heart of the nation. Moreover, Manasseh reintroduced the abominable practice of child sacrifice, something that God had explicitly forbidden and severely condemned. The biblical text mentions that Manasseh even sacrificed his own son, an act of cruelty that reveals how far he had strayed from God's ways. This practice, associated with the worship of the god Molech, was seen as an abomination by God and was one of the reasons he commanded the expulsion of the Canaanites from the Promised Land. By adopting this practice, Manasseh was not only committing an act of unspeakable cruelty, but also completely rejecting the sanctity of human life and the value that God places on every individual, especially children. The sacrifice of children was considered the most extreme form of idolatry and rebellion against God because it involved the destruction of those whom God had created in his image. Manasseh's willingness to sacrifice even his own son shows the depth of his depravity and the seductive power of idolatry. which can lead people to commit unimaginable acts in the name of false gods. The practice of witchcraft, divination, and necromancy, all strictly prohibited by Mosaic law, became common during Manasseh's reign. These practices were not just religious violations, but represented a fundamental rejection of God's sovereignty and a pursuit of power and knowledge through forbidden and demonic sources. In Deuteronomy 18:10-12, God had declared, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do, these things are an abomination unto the Lord." During Manasseh's long reign, these forbidden practices became part of daily life in Judah, reflecting a society deeply deviated from the principles that once guided it. The biblical narrative highlights how the influence of a corrupt leader can pervert the values and morals of an entire nation, leading to a spiritual decline that affects not only the present generation, but also future ones. Manasseh's adoption of these practices was not merely a matter of curiosity or harmless superstition, but constituted a direct rejection of God's authority and a quest for power and knowledge outside the boundaries he had set. By resorting to mediums and spiritists, Manasseh sought guidance and wisdom from demonic sources rather than trusting in the living God. This not only endangered his own soul, but also opened the doors to malignant influences over the entire kingdom. The impact of Manasseh's reign was so profound and lasting that the Bible directly attributes the eventual exile of Judah to his actions. In 2 Kings 21:11-12, the prophetic condemnation of his actions is recorded. "Because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance, and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger, since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day." 2 Kings 21:13-15. This divine declaration not only condemned Manasseh, but also sealed Judah's fate. The severity of this sentence reflects the gravity of Manasseh's sins in God's eyes. His apostasy, idolatry, and abominable practices not only corrupted his own soul, but threatened to lead the entire kingdom into spiritual and moral ruin. The mention that Manasseh did more evil than the Amorites is particularly condemning. The Amorites were one of the peoples inhabiting Canaan before the arrival of the Israelites, and their sinful practices were often cited as the reason why God expelled them from the land. By surpassing the wickedness of the Amorites, Manasseh was essentially negating the purpose for which God had given the land to Israel. Moreover, this comparison underscores the extreme deviation of Manasseh from divine teachings. The Amorites were considered an example of corruption and moral decay, and the fact that Manasseh surpassed them in wickedness indicated an unprecedented spiritual decline in Judah's history. This historical context reinforces the gravity of Manasseh's acts and their devastating impact not only on his reign, but on the destiny of his nation. Manasseh's influence extended beyond his lifetime, affecting future generations of Judah. His legacy of idolatry and corruption left an indelible mark on the people's history, contributing to the eventual destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian exile. Manasseh's story is a stark reminder of how ungodly leadership can lead an entire nation down a path of spiritual and moral ruin, and the importance of remaining faithful to divine principles and commandments. Manasseh turned the kingdom of Judah, which was meant to be a beacon of light and truth to the nations, into a center of darkness and depravity, surpassing even the pagan peoples around them. The comparison to the house of Ahab is also significant because Ahab was seen as the epitome of evil among the kings of the northern kingdom. By comparing Jerusalem to Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, and Manasseh's house to that of Ahab, God was essentially declaring that Judah had reached the same level of corruption that led to Israel's destruction at the hands of the Assyrians. Interestingly, Manasseh's story takes an unexpected turn that is not narrated in the books of Kings, but in Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles 33:10-13, we read, "And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. His supplication was heard, and God brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God." This passage reveals that even the most wicked of kings still had the opportunity to repent and turn back to God. Manasseh's captivity in Babylon marked a turning point in his life, leading him to sincere repentance and a change of heart. After his return to Jerusalem, Manasseh attempted to repair some of the damage he had caused. In 2 Chronicles 33:15-16, it is written, "And he took away the strange gods, and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel." These actions demonstrate a genuine change in Manasseh's heart and a sincere desire to correct his past wrongs. However, it is important to note that although Manasseh repented and attempted to implement reforms, the damage he had caused was so deep that his efforts were not enough to completely reverse the course he had set for Judah. The biblical text notes that although Manasseh removed the idols and pagan altars, the people continued to offer sacrifices on the high places, albeit only to the Lord their God, 2 Chronicles 33:17. Manasseh's story illustrates how a leader's actions can have lasting repercussions even after their repentance. While his reform efforts were significant, the legacy of idolatry and corruption he left was difficult to eradicate. This narrative underscores the importance of faithfulness and obedience from the beginning, as restoration, though possible, cannot always fully repair the damage caused. Manasseh's reign serves as a warning that the decisions we make, especially in positions of leadership, can have lasting impacts on our lives and those we lead. It suggests that despite Manasseh's reforms, the idolatrous practices he established were deeply rooted in Judah's society. Manasseh's story offers several crucial lessons. Firstly, it illustrates the corrupting power of sin and how even those raised in godly environments can stray drastically if they do not maintain a personal relationship with God. Secondly, it highlights the gravity with which God views idolatry and occult practices, especially when these lead to the exploitation and abuse of the vulnerable. Thirdly, the story underscores that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. Even the most notorious sinner can find forgiveness if they genuinely repent. However, it is also clear that while God forgives, the consequences of our actions often persist. Manasseh's actions had a lasting impact that even his late repentance could not fully reverse. Finally, Manasseh's story serves as a grim reminder of how leaders' decisions can have far-reaching repercussions for an entire nation. His reign set a pattern of apostasy that, despite later reforms by kings like Josiah, eventually led to Judah's fall and the Babylonian exile. The fourth and final king on our list of infamy is Ahaz, king of Judah, whose story exemplifies how fear and lack of faith can lead a leader to make disastrous decisions. Ahaz ascended to the throne of Judah during a period of great political and military turmoil. The kingdom was under constant threat from its neighbors, particularly Israel, the Northern Kingdom, and Syria. In 2 Kings 16:2-4, we read, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. This summary of Ahaz's reign already gives us an idea of the depth of his apostasy and the gravity of his actions in God's eyes. Ahaz's story also highlights how decisions driven by fear can lead to even greater disaster. In a desperate attempt to secure his kingdom, Ahaz sought the help of the Assyrian Empire, a move that resulted in greater oppression for Judah. This alliance not only betrayed trust in God, but also introduced idolatrous practices and pagan customs into Judah, further alienating the people from true worship. Ahaz's story is a reminder that decisions made out of desperation and lack of faith can have lasting and devastating consequences for a nation. One of the most significant events of Ahaz's reign occurred when Judah was under threat of invasion by Israel and Syria. Instead of trusting God for protection, as his faithful ancestors had done, Ahaz chose to seek support through political alliances with foreign powers, specifically Assyria. This decision not only demonstrated a lack of faith in the God of Israel, but also brought disastrous consequences for the kingdom. In 2 Kings 16:7-8, it is recorded, "So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria, and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord, and in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria." This act of desperation not only depleted the kingdom's resources, but also placed Judah in a position of servitude to a pagan foreign power. In doing so, Ahaz was effectively rejecting God's protection and relying on human help, an action that the prophets frequently condemned. Ahaz's lack of faith is further evident in his encounter with the prophet Isaiah, recorded in Isaiah 7. When Ahaz was terrified by the threat of invasion, God sent Isaiah to reassure him and offer a sign of divine protection. In Isaiah 7:11-12, we read, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." At first glance, Ahaz's response might seem pious, but in reality, it was a refusal to trust in God. Ahaz had already decided to depend on Assyria, and did not want a sign from God to challenge his decision. This refusal to seek and trust divine guidance is emblematic of Ahaz's entire reign, characterized by a constant rejection of God's will in favor of risky human solutions and political alliances. Ahaz's actions had lasting repercussions for Judah. His alliance with Assyria not only failed to provide long-term security, but also allowed Assyrian cultural and religious influences to infiltrate Judah. In 2 Kings 16:10-11, it describes how Ahaz, after visiting Damascus to meet the king of Assyria, was impressed by a pagan altar he saw there. He sent a model of this altar to the priest Uriah in Jerusalem with instructions to build a replica. Once the altar was completed, Ahaz not only used it for his own sacrifices, but also ordered it to be used for official worship in the temple, displacing the original bronze altar consecrated to Yahweh. This action perfectly symbolizes how Ahaz's pursuit of political solutions compromised the purity of God's worship. He not only introduced pagan practices into his personal life, but also corrupted national worship, leading the entire people away from God. Ahaz's legacy is a powerful testimony to the dangers of abandoning faith in God during crises, showing how a lack of trust in the divine can lead a nation down a path of spiritual and moral decay. Ahaz's reign demonstrates that decisions based on fear and lack of faith often result in consequences more severe than the original threats. Ahaz's story also highlights how spiritual unfaithfulness often accompanies poor political decisions. By rejecting God's guidance and the prophet's counsel, Ahaz not only compromised Judah's spiritual integrity, but also weakened its political independence and cultural identity. Ahaz's mistakes stand out even more when compared to the faith and devotion of his son and successor, Hezekiah, who worked hard to reverse many of the damages caused by his father. However, the consequences of Ahaz's actions persisted long after his reign, contributing to the spiritual decline that eventually led to Judah's exile. The final lesson of Ahaz's life is that the true security and prosperity of a nation do not come from political alliances or military power, but from faithfulness to God and obedience to His will. May we learn from the errors of these kings and strive to be leaders in any sphere of influence we have, who honor God, serve the people with integrity, and leave a legacy of faith and justice for future generations. The stories of Kings Jeroboam, Ahab, Manasseh, and Ahaz offer valuable lessons on the exercise of power and the importance of faith and obedience to God in leadership. Each of these kings, in their own way, demonstrated how deviation from divine principles can lead a nation to spiritual and moral decline, with consequences that often extend far beyond their own reigns. Jeroboam, driven by fear and political ambition, established an alternative religious system that directly challenged the worship of Yahweh. His attempt to consolidate his power through idolatry not only separated Israel from the true God, but also sowed seeds of corruption that affected future generations. Ahab, in turn, showed how the influence of corrupt individuals like Jezebel can lead a leader to commit great injustices and completely deviate from God's ways. His reign was marked by rampant idolatry and a lack of respect for divine law, leading Israel into a deep spiritual crisis. Manasseh, despite his late repentance, is an example of how extreme wickedness can leave deep scars on a society. Although he finally sought God's forgiveness, the pagan practices he introduced in Judah could not be fully eradicated, and his legacy of idolatry continued to affect the nation even after his death. This case highlights the importance of personal responsibility and how a leader's actions can have lasting effects, positive or negative, on their people. Finally, Ahaz shows us the dangers of acting out of fear and lack of faith. His reliance on political alliances and military power, instead of trusting in divine protection, not only compromised Judah's security and stability, but also introduced pagan practices that further corrupted worship and the cultural identity of the people. Ahaz's refusal to seek and trust in God's guidance, even when offered a divine sign through the prophet Isaiah, underscores the tragedy of his reign. Together, these stories teach us that the true exercise of leadership requires more than political or military skills. It demands a strong spiritual foundation and commitment to divine principles. Leaders who deviate from God and seek human solutions to spiritual problems often lead their people down a path of destruction. Conversely, those who remain faithful to God, even in times of adversity, can bring blessings and stability to their nations. Ultimately, these biblical narratives call us to reflect on the kind of leaders we wish to be or support. They challenge us to seek God's guidance in our decisions and to remember that, although we may make mistakes, there is always a path back through repentance and faith. May we learn from these historical examples and strive to be leaders who promote justice, truth, and faithfulness to divine principles, leaving a positive legacy for future generations.